Hey everybody, I'm Andy.
And I'm John. We're the hosts of Zombie Strains, the podcast where we watch all of the zombie movies in chronological order.
It has been a wild ride so far, discovering where and when all our favorite zombie tropes originated. Things like the first cannibal zombies.
Bowery at Midnight, 1942.
The first rage zombie.
Teenage zombies, 1959.
And the first homicidal zombie.
Dr. Blood's Coffin, 1961.
If you love zombie films as much as we do, join us on Zombie Strains.
Find Zombie Strains on your podcast app of choice.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. And should I say, welcome to Derry, because we're going to be doing our Welcome to Derry reviews live every Monday at this time. So let's go on ahead. Let's dive into episode one of Derry. I have my good friend Rossi here with me. We're here to break this thing down, and let's go on ahead. Let's do this, guys.
What's up, guys?
Hey, how's it going, Rossi?
Going good. How are you, John?
Doing good. I'm doing fantastic. I'm here to talk about some spooky stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm here to talk about some Pennywise, maybe a little bit of episode one. So, how's it going with you?
Going good. Things are good. Thank you.
So, guys, we're going to be breaking down season one, episode one of It, Welcome to Derry. This is actually called the pilot episode. So, what I want to say is this. I really like the spookiness of the opening scene. Where we actually have this kid, we don't know what's going on, because it opens up to the projector at the movie theater, and then we're presented with this one character, this little boy. This little boy is in the theater watching a movie, and then the usher comes in there and scares the hell out of him. He runs out, and I just love how this episode is just laid out. I love the set designs of it, the 1960s.
Yeah,
I really am enthused with it. And then you get this scene where he's hitchhiking in the cold. At first, I'm thinking, okay, maybe he just doesn't like where he lives, because he says that because of the fact that, I just want to get out of here. So I thought it might be because of the spooky stuff happening in Derry, but no, it's just stuff around him that he doesn't want to be around that we learn later on. But I like how the people go on ahead, give him a ride. He's hitchhiking. He goes, where are you going? I'm going to Portland. Okay. So they hitchhike. They turn back around. He sees the Paul Bunyan sign, and I just got goosebumps, because I'm thinking that they're going around in circles. But
yeah,
no.
Me too.
But tell me what you think. I mean, I'm rambling a little bit.
No, it's fine. The opening scene of them watching that classical musical, the Music Man or whatever Music Man. They're watching that. The kid in the theater, obviously I'm like, okay, did he sneak into the theater? Is he watching a free movie? Cause the usher comes in, chases him out. You see it looks like he had a black eye at some point and it's healing. So you see that. And when he's hitchhiking, I'm thinking, okay, the black eye, maybe he's running away from home. He doesn't like his parents. He's trying to hitchhike. And when the family pulls over and, allows him to get in the car and ask him where he's going, he's like, anywhere but Derry. And so they're like, well, we're going to Maine. So it looks quite normal. He gets in a car, regular, normal family, nothing weird until it becomes weird.
Yeah. Exactly. And then
the car ride was an awesome scene. And I thought they were looping, because you kept seeing the sign. So I'm like, and then I'm thinking, is he dreaming, or is the beginning going to be him waking up from a dream? And yeah, very interesting.
It was very interesting. And I was also thinking the same thing too. Are they going around circles? And I'm like, no, this is Pennywise.
Right.
And this is Pennywise orchestrating this whole entire family, bringing them back to Maine. I like the fact that you have this little brother. And this is something airy about the brother spelling words while the sister's over there. Very grotesque of dipping her fingers in the liver.
Yeah.
And playing with it. And then making the poor kid try to sniff her. I'm like, what the hell? Then the brother's like, spell trouble. T-R-U-L-B-A. It's T-R-U-L-B-L-E, dumbass.
Right. I found that creepy as well. The boy spelling everything, and the mom's like, oh, he loves to spell any and everything. So everything that they were saying, he would try to spell. But the sister with the liver, first of all, I was like, that's what you're going to snack on? Liver? Like, what kid likes liver? But when she opens it up and she's playing with it, I'm still trying to figure out, is Maddie dreaming? Is Maddie in a dream? What is going on? Because the family's getting weirder and weirder. Mm-hmm. And the scene where Maddie realizes, okay, this family's off. I've gotten into the wrong car. Let me out. Let me out of this car. And then they just start going nuts. The family starts going nuts. And the mom with the belly, what did you think about that with the baby?
Okay. So we get to this, the stomach, the baby and everything. I saw it moving and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And then you see the fact that she's about to give birth to the baby as well. And you see it moving and then you see it going through the, it shows everything.
Right.
So then you see the head of it. Oh, hey, JoJo, how are you?
Hey, Joey.
But, you know, I just thought it was very horrifying to actually see that. And even the kid is very horrified to see something like that, too. But there's just something horrifying when kids are spelling words and it's going trouble, trouble, trouble over and over and over again.
Right.
Then you're also hearing the word strangulation. You're seeing decapitation. All these words. I'm like, are they going to decapitate him, strangle him? What's going to happen? And then you see the giant Damien face baby come out. Oh. Demon bat baby with the umbilical cord still attached to it.
Yes.
And then it attacks Maddie. But not only attacks Maddie, but also attacks the other two kids in the car too, I think. But still, it was just horrifying to see something like that. And I was just shocked this is how they opened it up. Yes, normally we are introduced to our main character, but they gave us this cold opening to let us know that this is what the mystery element of this show is. And this is the prequel series to it before the Losers Club came involved.
Right.
So I like how they did the whole entire cold opening like that.
Right. Yeah, the demon bat baby flying around the car, them freaking out. The car's going all over the place. He's flying in and out of the car, breaking windows. The family scared. I mean, it's absolutely chaos. It's absolutely nuts. And he's gone. I mean, we find out as time goes on that he died or he was kidnapped. We don't know what happened to Maddie. And so, but what an awesome opening for the series. I thought it was great. And I must say that the set design, you do feel like you're back in the 50s, the 60s. They did a great job, a really good job. So I have to mention that as well.
They really do. The set designs for the 1950s is really nice looking.
Right.
Stuff. And Andy Muschietti does a fantastic job of bringing us back into this place. I feel like it's an extension of what it is and bringing us backwards into time.
Right.
And I just loved it. And then I like how the binky, the pacifier is flying out the window and then it goes into the sewer and then the titles come out. So I thought that was really cool. Then you also have this other scene. It's like 4 months later and now we're introduced to these other characters that we think that we're going to be following them for the rest of the season.
Right.
But we'll find out. We'll tell you a little bit about that later. But I just liked how they jump from different characters and how this town is involved in different types of things here. And you know there's something dark and airy and eerie.
Yeah, absolutely. When we get to the Air Force Base, you know, it's you know, you get to the Air Force Base, you meet the major. There's an issue with one of the workers that works on the planes at the Air Force Base. Very disrespectful to the major. I mean, it's coming off as maybe a color thing, you know, because it's back during that time. And the major, I mean, he's highly decorated, flew planes in World War II or in Korea. So, I mean, this is a prominent man. So the fact that there's different storylines going on in this town, I found exciting because I want to know more about the major and the situation at that base, because they do have that part of the base where it's top secret things that are going on. And everyone in town is wondering what they're doing. You know, is it aliens or what's going on? But I do like the different storylines that are going on in it. Or Welcome to Derry. Sorry, guys. Welcome to Derry. Yeah.
But that's what I like as well is like the major and stuff like that, because the major is actually the grandfather of Mike Hanlon.
Okay.
So his name is Leroy Hanlon.
Okay.
And he's the grandfather of Mike Hanlon, and he was in chapter 1 and 2. He was basically the life keeper of the first two films of keeping the memory alive. And whenever it comes back, he has to be the one to give the call to the Losers Club.
Okay.
So I like how they're acknowledging that. But also, too, we also see this other black character inside the Jeep with Dexter's dad.
Right.
Because, and that's why I'm going to call him Dexter's dad.
Okay.
But because he played Dexter. But anyways, but I like how Dick is in there, like Dick Hanlon from The Shining.
Right.
And at first, I'm thinking to myself, because he's giving Mike's grandfather an awkward eye. So I'm thinking, is he going to get demoted to the point where, because of this racism that we have in the 1950s, right. is he going to be the one who's going to be driving people that are higher up than him?
Right.
Or anything, too. But no, he's actually from The Shining. He's got the shine. So I'm thinking he's reading off of what the colonel actually is doing. And okay. that's what's going on, because I think there's more to it than the meets the eye.
With him. Right.
So I definitely like how they're incorporating other characters from the Stephen King universe.
Right.
Within it, Welcome to Derry, because it's all connected.
Which is really interesting that you bring that up, because I think, like me, maybe not a lot of people know that, you know what I mean? That haven't watched The Shining or didn't, you know, realize that all these characters are going to be connected in Welcome to Derry. So that's awesome that you bring that up, John.
Thanks, because I'm a huge Stephen King fan, but unless you actually followed the Stephen King lore or read the books, you're not going to know that Dick Halloran has the shine or that the guy in the Jeep is him, unless you do your research and stuff like that and dig a little right. deeper with it.
Right.
So I'm happy that, you know, that I found that out today right. and was able to actually add more to my notes. Still, great way to open up. Also, yes. to the race, not only are they fighting racism, but they're right. also having to fight this dark, within the town as yes. well. So it's both of it is dark in its own yes, way.
Absolutely. Definitely. I like the when you start meeting the different characters, you know, the other children in the film. The young girl that goes to school is her name. I think it's Lily.
Yes.
Lily. And what's going on in her life, because when you see her at school with her friend and you notice how all the other kids are looking at her when she walks into the hallway and she opens up her her locker and jars of pickles just start falling out of the locker. And you're kind of not knowing what's going on, what, you know, what's the deal with the pickles. You find out later why they did that. But just her story alone and how sad she seems to be at the school. And then you find out that she knew Maddie, who disappeared, and had he took her up to their secret little, you know, lighthouse where they all, you know, get together, and she wasn't supposed to be there. But I like how they showed that scene of her connection to Maddie and the fact that these kids weren't really friends of Maddie. I mean, you find out that they weren't very nice to him. You know, when you talk about the birthday party with the two boys that was kind of paid to go to Maddie's birthday party. And now that Maddie's gone, it kind of connects them all together because of visions that they're having, each of them seeing or hearing Maddie.
Right. Because yeah. it is playing a big part in their subconsciousness.
Yes.
And everything too. And even with Lily, she's up there 4th of July. It's 4 months early. And he's like, look, originally I'm not supposed to bring anybody up here unless it's okay right. with my friends to bring somebody up here. Right. And they watch the fireworks together. And there's that little bit of hope that maybe Lily might actually fall for Maddie, but yeah. instead, I like how Maddie makes moves on her, though. Yeah. I like how he gives her that kiss. And then yeah. all of a sudden, she just goes, look, it's not you. And he's right. like, yeah, whatever. And just walks away. And it's right. just so sad to see that, because someone that's just rejected at that age, it's just hard,
yes.
hard to actually deal with. But I like the fact that it sets up the initial thing of they're close. They're like BFFs, because he hands her the tortoise right. thing, which is also that's also connected in with the Dark Tower.
Okay.
And this is actually also what helps the Losers Club fight it, because he's actually the watcher of the protector of the Dark Tower, the right. tortoises. So I like how he's like, well, maybe you'll have good luck because tortoises are good luck.
Right.
But then I thought to myself, well, what if he was the one who winded up with it and not her?
Huh.
And I wonder if that would actually get have a different way of actually doing it. But
right.
I mean, some type of defense for Maddie. But no, instead it goes over to Lily and it has this flavor of, well, okay, now we have to find Maddie.
Right.
And I like how also, too, the two boys are talking in the hallway. You have this kid who's into sci-fi. Because, oh, yeah, the aliens are going to suck your suck your brains out and your balls and everything. And I'm like,
that's right. I mean, so, you know, you figure at that age, it was funny because if you remember being a kid that age and your thoughts on aliens and your thoughts on what's going to happen and a comet and all that, I like how this kid is totally entangled in that in the 60s.
Same here as
well. And that base. And he keeps telling them about that base and what they may have at that Air Force base.
And that's what I like, too, is like, you know, they're fighting a war.
Right.
And stuff too. So they have to use some type of way to cope with entertainment to where they're not thinking about war 24/7.
Right.
So this is actually them just trying to find some type of way of escape.
Right. And also with Lily, you know, as far as the pickles going back to that, you know, when we see her at home, we find out that, you know, well, when she's telling Maddie, because she's when she's having that time with Maddie on the 4th of July, she ends up telling him about the fact that her father worked at the pickle company, the pickle factory, and he was going to help someone because she had forgot her, something inside the building. He went back in. A coworker needed help with something. He had to climb into a machine that ended up killing her dad. And so she ends up losing it for a while. She has to go to some state hospital. That's why the kids were like calling her Loony Lily or something that they would call her. But for her to share that with Maddie was a big deal. That's why I was really hoping that he would at least kiss her back. But anyways, but her home life, the way that her mom is acting towards her because she hasn't visited her dad's grave and she's never been, and it had been a year. And so when she's sitting in the bathroom and she's just obviously depressed and she's turns the water off. And that's the first time she had heard or seen something that with the fingers that were coming out of the drain. And she heard Maddie and singing that one song that was in The Music Man.
Yeah, Trouble.
Trouble. Yeah, Trouble. Trouble.
And
yes,
the fingers are coming out of the drain. And this is also a callback to the to It Chapter 1, where Beverly's seeing the hair come out.
Yes.
And of the drain, the blood going everywhere. So that's a perfect, that's a callback to It Chapter 1.
Right.
But I want to talk about this, though, the unsettledness of her father getting trapped in those gears. And then they don't show it, but just the sound effects of us picturing this happening. I'm glad they didn't show it. And rather than just do it through that way, I feel like less is more. Right. And I think that this is the perfect way to do it. And it just shows the trauma that Lily had to go through. Of losing her dad. And I wouldn't want to go to a funeral either or visit the grave side of my dad, knowing that's what happened. And then you're also feeling guilty because he had to go in there back at the workplace to get your mood ring.
Right.
So it's just a sad thing for her to go through. So yeah. But that drain scene with the finger sticking up, I'm like, But I had goosebumps on that. I really have to say they did a really good job of keeping the same tone within It Chapter 1 and 2 as far as that goes.
Yes. And then hearing, and you know, what I like is, you know, you don't know at that time that the other kids in the group are also having, you know, seeing things or hearing things. And I forget the kid's name. I don't know if it's Ronnie, the young Jewish boy, when we get to see his life at home. And him, he was concerned about something. He asked his dad about, was it about a murder or something? He was asking his dad at the table about.
What he was asking was, can people keep people underground for a certain amount of time and not die?
Yes. Yes.
And then get this, that family is related to Stan from the first chapter.
Okay.
So these characters are linked to future family trees that they don't even know about right now.
Right.
But that's actually part of Stan's family tree.
Okay. And well, asking that because when he talked to Lily, remember Lily had went and told them because she went to the little lighthouse place where they all got together, their little club. And Lily had told them, the two friends of Maddie's, that, you know, this is what happened. I heard him. He sounds like pipes. And so he goes home and asks his parents that, his dad that, and his dad just freaks out because they're not that type of family. It's about studying, him reading those magazines. They feel like it's giving him this huge imagination, believing things that aren't real. And the night when he goes to his bedroom and that light that freaking light that he's reading, he has his nightstand light and it turns off. And the first time, not really thinking about it, he turns it back on, goes back to reading. It turns off again. I must say, when that thing had a mouth, the skin, because remember, the thing was, is that, you know, what was it, at one of the concentration camps, there was a woman that was known to take the skin and sew lamps and sew chairs and use the skin for chairs and lamps. Right. You go back and watch Ed Gein and you find out more about her, the butcher of whatever was her name. Anyways, but the way it came alive and he jumps out of bed scared me too. And then the light is over in the corner and it, when that rolls. Lamp rolls, oh my gosh, scary. Absolutely creepy. One of the creepiest parts that I've seen so far.
I agree. That gave me the creeps as well. And I'm like, no, you need to just get out of your room.
Yeah.
And like the first time I'm like, okay, it's flickering. No big deal. Second time. And then you see the face. I'm like, but I just like how they managed to pull on your most fears with this TV show.
Right.
And also too, they are Jewish. So that's why also too, his father is like that. He's like, look, his imagination is getting the best of him and things like that. He needs to be studying to him so he can become a man, because that's what was part of the Jewish family. Even Stan had a hard time focusing and dialing in on his Judaism and stuff like that too, with his own stuff.
Right.
But, you know, this is just horrifying to see, and seeing somebody that you knew in school.
Yeah.
And seeing him plastered onto a lampshade?
Yes.
That scared the shit out of me.
Absolutely. No, it was really scary. I wasn't expecting that. And that was, I thought maybe a ghost of Maddie or something, but not that. And rolling towards him while he's underneath his dresser was just, it was frightening. So now we see that, okay, there is his connection. So he has to believe Lily, because that's going on. Then you find out that the rest of the kids also were having the same experience, which then makes them want to go and figure out what happened to Maddie.
Right. And trying to figure out that. And then, you know, while that's happening again, it jumps back over to Mike's grandfather.
Yes.
And it's actually the destruction as House of Dynamite made recently, but Hannah isn't so much lens through which we explore the kind of paranoia that he has. But instead of racist realities of early 60s America, despite his rank and service record, there are some who can't even bring themselves to salute him. And, but also, too, this is the mysteriously Hannah is jumped in the night by men wearing gas masks and rubber suits. But that isn't a racist attack any more than in an effort to force him to divulge the specifications of the bomber he's testing. Hanlon remains tight-lipped, and his attackers are forced to flee, but one imagines it won't be long until he has another crisis to deal with, perhaps something relating to the mysterious Special Project Division.
I was not expecting that. And you know, I thought I was just seeing something, like maybe it's seeing them outside of the window in the gas mask. I'm thinking, you know, maybe this ghost, maybe it's an apparition, whatever.
But, I was thinking there might be it as well, but no.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I didn't know when they show up in his room and they want, you know, the specs for the bomber. And I'm thinking they're going to have to kill him because he's not going to give that away to them. But one of the people I believe it is the guy that didn't salute him and want anything to do with them.
Yep.
That's what I'm guessing who one of the guys are. And thank goodness his friend showed up at the right time and came in and got them out of there. But obviously we know we're not done with that.
No, we're not. There's going to be more that's going to be entangled with it.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. It's going to be that guy that didn't salute.
Yeah.
Hands down, I know that's him.
Yes.
And it's also any other crew that is also racist that would actually do that.
Right.
So you have that going on. And then it goes back over to the boys again. This time they asked Veronica about Maddie.
Right. She was not happy.
No. He's like, I already told you what I told the cops, that the last time I saw him was at the movie theater. And that was it.
Right.
then they started talking about their visions that they were having and stuff like that. And that's when Veronica was like, wait, you saw something too?
Right. Yeah.
She brings them to the movie theater and she's playing the Music Man.
Yeah.
And I'll let you break that down.
Yeah. They're going to the theater. They're watching a Music Man and they're sitting there. And even I, as the audience member as well, is like, what is Maddie doing in that film? Oh my gosh, that's the family. He's holding a baby. But when they notice it's Maddie, they're yelling and he looks up at him.
Right.
And he looks at him. Go ahead, John.
No, go ahead.
Okay. He looks at them and I'm like, wait, he can hear them? And so they're like, come closer. They're all yelling. He comes closer with that baby. But when he bends, turns his head down and looks up, that face that he makes, and you can take it from there.
Yeah.
I still don't know about that scene. I'm still, yeah.
That smirk that he makes, and then they're telling him to come forward. I'm like, no, you need to turn this damn film off. Veronica, you need to cut the feed, and that's it. And even whenever that's happening, the door's locked.
Yes.
Actually locked Veronica inside
the
room, but at the same time though, cut the camera off,
cut
the feed,
right?
That's all you have to do is cut the film reel or something,
right?
But no, it keeps on playing. And I'm like, look, you see someone that you may be possibly dead, you see his fingers sticking out of the drain, but you still want him to come forward,
right?
And then it's just the innocence of kids, though, too, because we're adults. If we saw our friend on the thing, we might actually do something. Might do
exactly right, right.
But as seeing it as an adult, we're like, no, you don't need to. You just need to cut the shit off. Then you see the demon baby come through the screen.
Yes.
And then it shreds every single kid
involved.
Everybody but Lily and Veronica.
Yes.
And you think that we're going to be following these kids on this mystery ride, but instead it is like, fuck them kids. And and just shreds them. Lily has a hand attached to her.
Yes. The little girl's hand. The boy's little sister.
Yeah.
No love. And I'm telling you, I'm just going to say this as a Black person, we running. Okay, we are running. We're not waiting. We're out of there. We're running. I'm not telling you to come through the screen. Once I see that you know that I'm talking to you, done, out of there. So that I was not expecting for them kids to be butchered like that. And I'm just like, wait, these are the kids. I was just not expecting that, dude. And I'm thinking again, that did not just ain't no way that happened. But when Veronica and Lily walk out of the theater and poor girl has blood all over her and has the baby's hands attached to her, I'm like, oh my gosh, that just happened.
Yeah. And, you know, I know that these kids are not going to make it. I know that because if they defeated it, then we wouldn't have the Losers Club later on.
Right. Right.
So I know they're not going to make it. But this also changes things for us as viewers of saying no one is safe. Anyone can die.
Yes.
The stakes are high. And that's what I like about it is they're not playing safe with it.
Yes.
They're actually saying don't get attached to the characters. Characters are going to die. And this is how it is. And even someone commented today, he goes, I didn't expect the kids to die. I'm like, well, I did, but not in that way. I was expecting maybe through episode 6 or 7.
Yes. Yes. There you go.
Or 8, whenever the finale is.
Right. I thought that too. I thought it was too early. I didn't think it would happen in the first freaking episode that they would go. I mean, watching the series or the movies, I'm not surprised that the kids, you know, each one of them would be gone, you know, but I thought maybe, you know, it would get them, they would join Maddie under wherever he is, but not like this. So that was a total surprise. And yeah, it really said, man, anybody can get it.
Right. You know, I'm glad I read up on this, though, too, that they're not going to show Pennywise until like towards the end of the series. So I'm glad they're not doing that, because people have to realize this is not a 2.5 hour movie. This is right. 8 episodes, 8 hours of Pennywise,
right.
of it. And they can do a slow paced show and then show him towards the end.
Right.
You don't need to actually show the mask of what it is yes. until later on.
Yes.
So that's something I do appreciate with the show, is the slow build to get to that point right. that we actually see Bell Skarsgård as Pennywise.
Right.
But,
and even without all the other things that are going on anyways, it's scary enough to where you don't have to show him for a few episodes. I mean, you can go through 5-6 episodes right. without even having to show him, because the other things that are going on, it's already much, you know, and then the insinuation of him, it's already much. So
it's already in play.
It's good. It's already good. Yeah.
Right. And I just want to mention this. I know that you... to our listeners and to Rossi, though, too, because I know that you don't know about this, but the town was actually built on it.
Was it?
Yeah. It was cursed right from the get-go.
Okay.
It was already there. They just put the foundation and the town on it.
Okay.
So, you know, and I'm also wondering, too, if maybe the military thing is also part of the Tommyknockers from Stephen King, because that's also alien-based, though, too.
Yep.
But it is also a demon, just as the tortoise I was talking about is also a demon okay. and protector of the Dark Tower.
Okay.
But still, all in all, great pilot episode.
Yes.
Great way to open up. I'm still intrigued with it. The new episode drops on Friday.
Okay.
So that's something I'm happy that they're doing.
Yeah.
They're dropping that on Halloween instead of waiting until Sunday.
Yes.
So now we have a new episode coming out on Friday. But we're still going to do our show on Monday.
Yes.
So, but is there anything else that you want to add as far as this goes?
You know, I just want to say that, you know, I've been waiting for this. You know, when we saw the first trailer, couldn't wait for it to come on. I felt it was already going to be good. And that first episode really solidified this is going to be a great season. I'm enjoying it. The acting is great. It's just a really good story. And to have the prequel, you know, to it, it's just great to know what happened before, you know, the movies and whatnot. So I'm enjoying it. It's really good.
I agree. I'm enjoying this. I can't wait to see what we have for the next 7 episodes.
Oh yeah.
Tell me what you guys think. Are you guys liking this? Are you guys not liking this? Tell us in the comments below. If you're watching this or on replay later on, tell us in the comments. I'd like to actually geek out with you, talk to you a little bit more about the town history, because I actually have notes on that too. That I'm probably going to wind up doing like a separate video later on just to break down the town history of it and how it was involved with Derry, because I'm a nerd. But still, tell us what you guys think. What's your speculation on this? Give us some of your fan theories. And that's going to be it as far as this episode goes, guys. Thank you so much, Rossi, for joining me for this whole entire season. I do appreciate
it. Of course. We are Movie Lovers Unite.
Yes, we are. We are. But, you know, it's just great to be able to just geek out, and also to not only if our, you know, our fans don't know certain things about it, I like geeking out knowing that you don't know nothing and I can actually talk to you about it, because yes. it gives me a chance to put out my little chalkboard and tell you about
certain things. It's interesting. I didn't know. So I'm happy that you come with that part for people like me that don't know all that history and how a lot of the Stephen King movies are intertwined. So I love that you do that. That's awesome.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. But yeah, guys, that's going to be it. Jojo, thank you so much for always watching, always supporting us. We do appreciate it. Rossi, do you have anything else that you want to talk about as far as your shows go?
Actually, guys, join me next Monday at 7:30. Video game segment is back with Trust with Padawan Frito, and I can't wait to talk to you guys about games, because I geek out on that, and we have to talk about Grand Theft Auto, guys. Bad news. So join us next Monday at 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. We will be live here on Movie Lovers Unite.
All right, and guys, we just got done doing our trial of Ginny Curry from Forrest Gump. So check that out. Tell us what you guys think. Is she innocent? Is she not innocent? You guys will go ahead and check that out on the YouTube channel. And always until next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.